Grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be proclaiming God's word today from the Gospel reading, Matthew chapter 15, 21 to 28. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we hear your word to us today, fill us with your Holy Spirit and deepen our faith so that we may find mercy in our time of need. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today in this Gospel reading, we have one woman's journey of faith and the encounters she has along the way. And it can teach us something about our own journeys of faith. It can deepen our faith as it points us to Christ, the one in whom we find mercy and help in our times of need. Today I'd like to trace this journey of faith and see four encounters that this lady has along the way. It begins in family problems. It moves through some dismissive disciples. It comes to what even seems to be an insult from Jesus. And it ends in mercy, help and healing. So first there is this woman's family problems, which is what drives her to the Lord Jesus. The text begins, "Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, 'Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon.'" Notice right from the start that although this woman is asking for mercy on her, "Have mercy on me," the actual problem is with her daughter. We're not given any details about what was happening for the daughter except that she's tormented by a demon. We don't know what that actually looked like for her, though, how that was affecting her, except that it just sounds terrible. Tormented by a demon. Other translations say severely oppressed by a demon. Now, it's worth noticing here just how often in the Gospels people do come to Jesus, not for their own needs, but for the needs of others. Even more specifically, notice how often people come for the needs of their children, as this lady does come here. I've noticed something that's a little bit strange in my experience, that often it is the case that the burdens which weigh most heavily on us are not necessarily those in our own lives, not directly, but the needs of others. It does seem especially the case with children, but applies to other loved ones as well. I know this is the case for many of you. Time and time again, I've been in conversations with people who have plenty of problems in their own life, but there's a child or there's some other person they love, and it's the trouble they are going through which really weighs on their heart. This came home to me so powerfully when I was in hospital with a man who was very, very sick and going through terrible health problems of his own. But when I asked him, "What should we pray for?" it was his kids. It was their problems. It was the fact that some of them were walking away from their faith. This man was dying. And yet that's what weighed heavily on his heart. Now, if this is you carrying heavy burdens to do with your children or your loved ones, the first thing you know from this text is simply that you are not alone. There were people who walked and talked with Jesus 2,000 years ago who were coming to him with the needs of their children, their loved ones. But notice as well how for this woman, her family problems don't push her away from Jesus, but actually drive her to him in her utter desperation. This journey of faith for her, it arises from this desperate need in her family, and the problems in our families can do the same for us. God can and does use them to grow and deepen our faith and our dependence on him. I know for myself that about the only time in my life when I've come close to this sort of desperate faith and the fervency of prayer of the woman in this text is when my kids have been in hospital, one of them with something fairly serious. That's often when you really learn to pray, isn't it? So first on her journey of faith are these family problems. The next thing to notice, though, on her journey of faith is how she comes up against dismissive disciples. So when she comes with her need, Jesus doesn't answer at first, does he? And so the disciples are quite happy to fill that vacuum. Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, you may remember we heard something very similar at the feeding of the multitudes. The disciples said, send the crowds away. But Jesus would not send them away until they had been fed by him. And here the disciples are again, seemingly fairly keen on getting rid of this lady. And we can understand it because no one likes a scene, of course. And here is this Canaanite woman, this pagan worshipper of other gods and enemy of Israel, making a real scene, making a bit of a nuisance of herself, apparently. And so the disciples want to send her away to get rid of her. And I think there's another significant point of application for us here. Because in our own journeys of faith, how often is it that one of the big obstacles and challenges is fellow Christian disciples? That's just the way it is. And so one thing that pastors will sometimes say to new people who are becoming Christians or who are coming back to the church is, don't be surprised when you have problems with someone eventually in this congregation or with other Christians generally. You are not coming into an idyllic community where nothing ever goes wrong. This is a hospital for sinners. And so sooner or later, you will get offended by one of your fellow Christian disciples. And here's the thing. When it happens, don't let it drive you away from God. Look at this Canaanite woman. The disciples want to drive her away, but she keeps her eyes fixed on Jesus. She knows that what he has is worth so much to her in her need that she can put up with some insensitive disciples. Now, this is not to excuse bad behavior among Christians. There is also to be something about our life together as Christian people that draws others into the circle of God's love. But ultimately, we do not put our trust in Christians. We put our trust in Christ. What about when even that gets tested, though? Because this is the next point. This is the next encounter on this woman's journey of faith, and it's a part of the text that easily packs the most punch, culminating in what seems to be an insult from Jesus. It starts with the silence that I mentioned before. She pleads for mercy, but he doesn't answer her a word, it says. But then it builds. It becomes sort of an indirect refusal to help. He says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The implication seems to be because she's from outside Israel, he's not here to help her. Now, there is something true about that from one perspective. We know that what Jesus came to accomplish in his life, death, and resurrection eventually has benefits for the whole world. We know that Jesus will send the apostles to all nations, but in the first place, Jesus' ministry was in and through Israel. Salvation is from the Jews. But it's pretty hard for this woman to hear in her need, presumably. But then it gets even stronger, even more direct. She asks again, Lord, help me. And the text says she's kneeling at this point, but actually it's even stronger. she was probably flat out on the ground begging for help. And Jesus says, it's not right to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. Wow. What do we make of this? It's basically the same thing that Jesus said before, but now it's in much more confronting language, isn't it? Now, when you read commentaries on this verse, you find all sorts of possible explanations people offer which try to take the sting out of this. But it seems to me that maybe we're meant to feel the sting. It seems to me that this is some sort of an insult. And here's why I find this very interesting to consider. Because when most Christians read this, they read of the silence of Jesus, they read of this indirect refusal to help, and then they read of this apparent insult. They find it very confronting, even shocking. But then if I say, let me ask you, in your life of faith, have you ever come to God in your need and met with silence? Have you ever felt like you've cried out to the Lord and as if there was indifference to your suffering? Have you ever prayed and the situation seems to get worse before it gets better? You know, I've had this conversation with quite a number of people now based on this text, and I'm yet to meet someone that doesn't resonate with that experience at some level. So that whatever we make of this interaction of Jesus and the Canaanite woman here, there is something of our own spiritual experience of the people of God reflected in this dynamic in a very profound way. Here's the thing, though. Again, when we have those experiences, what do we do with them? Do we give up on God and walk away because it all seems so unfair? Or do we go on the front foot and demand our rights before God? That's the temptation. And yet, listen to this astounding response in this text, in the face of what is perceived indifference and even insult. Yes, Lord. She agrees. She accepts her unworthiness as someone outside of God's covenant family. Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. She picks up on Jesus' words and she puts them back to him. She clings to him in faith, this faith that is even willing to take just a crumb from Jesus. This is a person who will not take no for an answer. She reminds me of Jacob wrestling with God all night long and saying, I will not let you go until you bless me. That's faith, Jesus says. She encounters the family problems, the dismissive disciples, the insult from Jesus, but finally she finds the mercy she so earnestly was seeking. Woman, great is your faith. This Canaanite woman, from a people who were enemies of Israel, worshipping other gods, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed instantly. Now, I don't know about you, but by the time I get to the end of this text, I've more or less forgotten about the daughter. The conversation has been so dramatic that I forgot the original problem that drove her to Jesus was her daughter. The daughter whose life was an endless misery. The daughter whose problems most likely affected every part of that family's life. The daughter who, as far as we know, never met Jesus. Yet she was helped. You who have big problems in your family, don't miss this point. That the daughter received help and mercy from Jesus through the faith of her mother. Jesus didn't say to this woman, well, sorry, your daughter will have to come back on her own and I'll deal with her directly. It's on the basis of the mother's faith that the daughter received mercy. That's tremendous encouragement for us in our lives of prayer. And doesn't it sound just a little bit like what we heard this morning in the baptism rite? Here are Christian parents bringing their child to Jesus, their child who has inherited this disease of sin and uncleanness that affects every human being and affects the whole of our life. And when we come to ask for that confession of faith, we ask the parents and the godparents to confess it on their child's behalf. A part of that understanding goes back to texts like these. Dear friends, Jesus is the one in whom you can find mercy and help. Mercy and help for you, mercy and help for your loved ones, mercy and help for all people, no matter who they are, where they have come from, and what has happened in the past. Your experience will sometimes suggest to you otherwise, but we do not trust our experience. We trust in Christ. We trust in His word of promise. We cling to Him in faith and we persevere through the trouble and the suffering. We persevere through the silence and the apparent indifference. We persevere through times when things even get worse rather than better. We persevere in faith because we know we will find mercy and help from Jesus. If you haven't come to Him in faith before, or if you have drifted away from Him, He is reaching out to you this very day with the invitation to trust Him, to find mercy in your need. There are family problems. There are insensitive disciples. There is even a seeming insult from Jesus. But mostly there is mercy in need. God grant it to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.